everyone. My name is Scott, and this is Ashley.
Hi, everyone. I am indeed Ashley, and my friend Scott and I are really excited about science.
Yes, we are, Ashley. Ashley is actually so excited about science and has been her entire life that she got an advanced degree in it.
I sure did, and I loved almost every minute of it. So, you know, folks, we are stoked to share this one-time podcast episode with you all about the past, present, and future of energy in Washington State on behalf of the Snohomish County Public Utility District. And Scott, I know that both of us know that the work of our local public utility is so important to ensure that folks who need power get it.
Absolutely. We really do need power and we need to get it. So before we go any further, we want to let you know where all the information we're going to share with you today comes from.
Absolutely. I'll start us off. We got some stuff from snowpud.com.
That's right. There's also some information from www.vox.com about the Washington Clean Energy Bill. Super interesting.
Absolutely. And some great stuff from the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission website.
Fantastic. We also went to the AmericanIndian.si.edu. Lots of good information there.
Yep. And then the NWIFC.org. Good stuff on treaty rights there.
Right. There's a blog from SeattlePI.com. It's a big blog. That talks about how long humans have been in Washington State.
Awesome. And then we got a couple of other things from EIA.gov. Lots of stuff about energy consumption, how much we're using, what's going on with that.
Fantastic. And finally, nativeland.ca is a really, really interesting website. That's where we've got all of the great information we're going to share with you today. So we want to know, we want you to know some of the goals of our time together. Ashley and I are both teachers, so it's helpful for us to have goals. So we're going to have some fun together. We're going to travel through time. We're going to talk about renewable and non-renewable energy sources like coal, fossil fuels, nuclear power, hydropower, wind power, biomass, and solar power. What else are we going to do today, Ashley?
Well, we're going to share some cool information about Washington State's energy use and think really specifically about what is happening where we live in Snohomish County.
Great.
We are going to talk about power. Now, let's get started. Scott, what are some things you use your power for every day?
Do you mean my superpower, Ashley? I'm trying to keep my secret identity on the down low. So if I could just...
Okay, Super Scott, I meant electrical energy, electricity.
Oh, good, good. Electrical energy. Well... let me see. I charge my cell phone, obviously. I turn the lights on and off. And I use my refrigerator to get some tasty food and do some cooking. How about you?
Well, you know, my cat has this silly little water fountain that gets plugged into the wall and uses power. I also wash my clothes and use the dishwasher.
Okay. Your cat has a water fountain. That's great. So, folks, most people and Ashley's cat interact with something each day that requires power.
Yeah, and there are a lot of really unique things about power in Washington State. And one of the coolest things is that currently we produce twice as much energy as we consume. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's actually pretty cool. But I do know that there's a plan. And if things go according to plan, we could be one of the cleanest states in the country when it comes to energy consumption. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's do that thing where we travel back to the past and talk about energy. What do you say?
Whoa. When you say the past, what exactly do you mean?
Oh, you know, that's actually a great question, because as we're time traveling today, the places we visit are the traditional territories of the indigenous people across what we know as Washington State. You know, did you know that indigenous residents have occupied this part of the planet for over 12,000 years?
Wow. You know, Scott, I did know that, and it's still fascinating to me every time I hear it. You know, for example, in Snohomish County, where we are, these are the traditional territories of tribes like the Stillaguamish, Coast Salish, Tulalip, Snohomish, Skycomish, Skagit, and Swinomish. And so when we're talking about energy consumption, we might assume or postulate that prior to Western expansion, indigenous folks used wood as an energy source for both heating and cooking. But 12,000 years is a lot of time to cover in the next 20 minutes.
That is a lot of time to cover. So when we talk about the past today, we're just going to focus on energy use starting just a few hundred years ago. So what do you say, Ashley? Let's jump into this covered wagon I got over here. We're going to travel back to Washington in the 1800s, where we can learn about energy consumption and energy sources at that time.
Awesome. That sounds like a great thing. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
Wow! We are here in the 1800s in Washington. Scott... there's something to be had about less cars and more covered wagons.
I know, but there's less coffee shops. I don't know if I'm happy here in the 1800s.
Fair enough. So To distract ourselves, tell me about what's happening right now with energy in Washington.
Absolutely. So the state grew rapidly in the 1800s and the early 1900s due to the Western expansion of primarily European settlers. So in 1889, after mostly burning to the ground in the Great Seattle Fire, the city recovered by nearly doubling in size because of the Alaskan Gold Rush.
Wow, I had no idea that so many people made their way to this state because of the Alaskan Gold Rush. But do tell, keep telling me what's happening with energy in Washington State at this point in history.
Okay, right. Here we are in 1800s Washington, and the energy is coal. Coal is king.
Or queen, come on.
Okay, or queen coal. You know, I'm actually trying to come up with a catchy title for this segment, like the Coal Nine Yards? The Coal Shebang? The coal truth and nothing but the truth? The coal enchilada?
There we go. Actually, you know what, Scott? Let's make it clear for our listeners and call it the history of coal in Washington.
All right. Here we go. Brilliant. The history of coal in Washington. So, history of coal in Washington is tied to the development and expansion of the railroads here on the West Coast. In 1869, the Golden Spike, right? That was driven into the ground in Utah, uniting the East and the West Coast railroads and creating a transcontinental railroad.
Right. And so, as we know, steam locomotives not only burned coal, but also transported coal. So both of these industries really grew up together. And not just trains, but steamships burned coal
right.
as well. And remember, this was before gasoline came along. So the primary fuel for shipping and industry was coal, and not to mention domestic uses like heating homes, for cooking in coal ovens.
Right. So coal is just hugely popular and in high demand in the mid to late 1800s. And in the meantime, it's discovered down near Longview, Washington in 1833, then in Bellingham and Issaquah in the following years. So we've got oodles of coal. And by the way, actually, oodle is a technically correct term for a measurement of coal. It's an oodle. So we've got oodles of coal coming out of the ground. And at the same time, California is building railroad after railroad and needs our oodles of coal.
And boom shakalaka, the Washington coal industry is born.
Oh, isn't it pretty? It's beautiful, that Washington coal industry. Well, maybe not. Between the 1870s and the 1900s, millions of pounds of coal are sent from Washington to California. In fact, between the 1880s and the 1940s, coal provides more than half of the entire nation's energy. So things are going along well for the Washington state coal industry. Like, you could say that coal was on a roll. They had it under control. It made people's income feel whole. It was...
Are you really going to continue?
Well, that was the goal.
Anyway, come on.
Okay. So even though coal is one of the most abundant minerals in our state, folks in the past, they start to see coal mining as expensive and dangerous, not to mention...
Future spoiler alert.
It's one of the fossil fuels we burn that ultimately damages the atmosphere and contributes to climate change and, of course, negatively impacts human health. Especially our lungs. Yikes. So now, for another fossil fuel, a non-renewable energy source, as coal goes out of favor, there is a new energy source on the block in the 20th century, oil.
The great tradition of oil drilling in Washington State.
So, the truth is, people knew that oil was the future, and they were rushing to drill for it in Washington State. There's this oil fever going on, right? Businessmen and businesswomen, the governor, they're promoting drilling oil as the next big thing. People are buying land, they're building houses, they're even building small towns on sites where they think oil is going to be discovered. Unfortunately, hopes for that oil boom turn out to be a bust. Of the 500 wells that are built from the late, I'm sorry to tell you, it's true, from the late 1880s onward, only one ever achieved commercial production in 1957, and that lasted only 4 years. And,
future spoiler alert,
like we said above, oil is another fossil fuel that damages the atmosphere and impacts the climate.
Yeah, interestingly though, Scott, Washington State is actually the refining capital of the Northwest, and when I say refining, I mean refining oil into gasoline, which of course is what we need to power all the things we like to drive and fly. And Washington has the fifth largest refining capacity of any state, which is really interesting when you think about how we actually don't drill for oil. So tell me this, if coal went out of fashion and there was no oil to be drilled, how did Washington get energy moving forward?
Nuclear, the power of the future.
So, in order to meet projected electricity demand in the Pacific Northwest, a plan for a projected 5 nuclear power plants was created in 1968. Oh, hold on, Ashley, can you remind us how nuclear power works again real quick?
I would be happy to do so as your resident, well, I guess co-resident science enthusiast. So, in nuclear power plants, neutrons collide with uranium atoms, splitting them. And hang on, folks, it's going to get a little complex, but bear with me.
Yes.
In the core of nuclear reactors, the fission of uranium atoms releases energy that heats water to about 520 degrees Fahrenheit. And this hot water is then used to spin turbines that are connected to generators, generating electricity. And this is considered a non-renewable energy source. Did you know that, Scott?
I totally knew that, Ashley. No, of course you did. Yeah.
That's okay. We're all learning. So, you know, Scott, there's this long and complicated history of nuclear power in Washington state. And the big idea was to be able to create enough power for our state and sell surplus power to the rest of the West Coast, just like we did with coal. And after many cost overruns and bungled attempts at building the nuclear power plants, the agency known as, get this, Washington Public Power Supply System, or WPS, abandoned the vision.
Whoops.
Today, only one nuclear power plant exists in Washington, the Columbia Generating Station in Richland.
That's right. And I know nuclear power has kind of a mixed reputation, well, because of the waste it produces. Some of that waste can actually take over 20,000 years to disintegrate. And in the meantime, it needs to be stored somewhere.
Correct. And so, okay, so coal was replaced by oil, which we refine, but don't drill for.
Right.
Then we tried nuclear, but that was also kind of a bust, and there's some pretty gnarly, gnarly challenges to manage with nuclear power. So what's next?
Well, now that we're done talking about non-renewables, let's back up in time a little bit and talk about some renewable sources of energy. Ashley, based on what I know about you, and how much I know you love water, I think you should talk about our next renewable, abundant, and exciting source of energy in Washington State.
Yes, I would be happy to do that, Scott. But before that, I just want to clarify something for our listeners. You know, I hear the word renewable a lot, and I know we've already said it a couple of times. So remind me, renewable doesn't have anything to do with, like, not renewing a library book or, you know, things like that. What does it have to do with?
That's easy. Renewable energy means that the resource you use to generate electricity isn't used up when you finish with it. So think about wind blowing through a turbine or even water spinning through a turbine. The air and the water can be used over and over again. Not to mention that renewable resources don't give off greenhouse gases as a side effect.
Yes, yes. Okay, thank you for the reminder for both me and our listeners. Now, Scott, it would be my sincere honor to introduce our very special energy source, the renewable energy star of the show, an energy source that has been used across time and space. It uses water to generate electricity. Let me give you a hint. It starts with hydro and ends with power. Do you know what it is?
Wait a minute. Hydropower. Hey, is this another science word?
It sure is. Help us out.
Hydropower.
Awesome. It is indeed hydropower. And hydropower is electricity generated by water moving through turbines. So just like you mentioned before. And these turbines are big wheel-like structures with a central shaft or rod that's connected to this thing called a generator. And inside of the generator, there are copper wires and magnets that spin to generate an electric current. It's pretty sweet.
That is so cool. I mean, I didn't grow up in Washington. So in the time I've lived here, I've learned more and more about this energy source, how widespread it is throughout the state. I mean, it's super cool. Can I share with you some of the history of hydropower? Because I kind of geek out on it. It's super exciting.
I would love it. Go for it.
Okay. So here we go. So the first hydroelectric plant in the Pacific Northwest was completed in 1890 in Spokane, Washington, of all places. So a businessman named George Fitch installed a small dynamo powered by the Spokane River in the basement of a flour mill. And this sends electricity to a dozen streetlights a few hundred feet away. And if you go to Spokane, which I love Spokane, you can check out the hydroelectric plant on the river. It's the longest running hydro facility in the state.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And I have another future spoiler alert. In 2020, electricity generated by hydropower not only can power a dozen streetlights, but crosses state lines and can even be bought and sold between electric utilities.
Whoa.
Can I make one more quick note on this that I geeked out on before we leave history?
Yes, no, please do.
Okay, great. So between the late 1890s and the mid-1940s, a time period which we have visited earlier in this podcast.
We did.
Political powers and citizens went back and forth on whether or not electricity should be a public service or a privately owned utility. and there were tense legal battles. And Scott, do you know what finally tipped the scales?
I do not know. I think you're going to tell me, though.
I sure will. Hydropower. In the late 1930s, the federal government started construction on the Grand Coulee Dam in eastern Washington and the Bonneville Dams, which are east of Portland. And at the time, the law dictated that public utilities had first dibs on purchasing and selling the energy generated by the hydropower dams. And this process took a bit of time and was complex, but by 1949, Snohomish County Public Utility started selling electricity.
Hold on, doesn't Snohomish County Public Utility still purchase most of the electricity it sells from the Bonneville Power Administration even today?
Yeah, it sure does, Scott. Awesome observation.
Good. Well, hey, speaking of today, and by today I mean 2020, I'm kind of homesick, I'd like some coffee, and I need to charge my cell phone. What do you say we jump in this electric-powered car over here and go back to the future?
Hey, I'd love to leave that wagon behind, and I love that movie!
Back to the future, right? Come on, let's go! Whoa! Ooh! What a wild ride to the present that was! Wow, well, hey, what were we saying before we got zoomed from the past to the present?
Well, Scott, if you get out of the DeLorean, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I was telling you about Snohomish County PUD, or Public Utility, and the Bonneville Power Administration. I know traveling through time is hard, but it can't be that discombobulating.
Ha, 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 ha. I have a great long-term memory, actually. What are we doing next?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I'm going to tell you about what's happening with power in Snohomish County right now. And there's a lot of movement toward a completely renewable energy fuel mix here. It's pretty awesome. And as a reminder to our listeners, in this next bit of time where we are in the present, we are going to be talking about Snohomish County. It's very exciting.
Hold on. Can we pause for just a minute and take a quick step back? Why are there so many hydropower projects in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, Scott, since we are both teachers, I'm going to give you a pop quiz.
Okay.
So what do you think we have a lot of here in Washington that other places do not?
Evergreen trees.
Close.
Coffee?
Closer.
Hipsters.
Getting closer.
Tattoos. Hipsters with coffee and tattoos sitting in trees. Oh, I know. It's water.
Yes, that is the one. Good work. And, you know, we are fortunate enough to have access to this important and abundant natural resource here in Washington State. And in Western Washington and Snohomish County especially, we see a lot of rain. But rain doesn't necessarily mean full rivers and lakes. We also benefit from snowmelt each season to fill up places like Spada Lake Reservoir, which supplies water for the Jackson Hydropower Project. And this is a local hydropower project operated by the Snohomish County PUD in Sultan. So, in Snohomish County, hydropower accounts for about 75 to 80% of energy sources in a typical year. And our energy sources are also called the fuel mix, which is just where the energy we use comes from.
Wow, 75 to 80%, that's pretty amazing. And I know that compared to the U.S. as a whole, about 6.5% of the energy sources come from hydropower. Snohomish County, that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and you know, there's some other local hydropower projects that contribute to the renewable energy that are owned and operated by Snohomish County PUD. The one I mentioned earlier was the Jackson Project. There's also the Woods Creek, Young's Creek, Callaghan Creek, and Hancock Creek projects.
That is a lie. You just ripped those off the top of your head, Ashley. That's pretty amazing. So when we talk about hydro resources or hydropower resources, you just mentioned, it accounts for almost 75 to 80% of the sources of energy in Snohomish County. And I'm still blown away by that. That's amazing to think that that's renewable, 75 to 80%. But how do we get the other 25 to 30%?
Well, great observation. Math, right? It's a helpful thing that we need to know. So the other 25 or 30% comes from a combination of wind, solar, biomass, nuclear, and coal. So it's a mix of renewable and non-renewable energy sources, but mostly renewable.
So yeah, it sounds like the other renewables you just mentioned are solar, wind, and biomass, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, like we mentioned earlier, Snohomish County is really committed to using renewable energy and planning to be as renewable as possible, as soon as possible. And in relationship to this, at a state level in 2019, Governor Inslee signed the Clean Energy Transformation Act into law. And this law commits Washington to an electricity supply free of greenhouse gas emissions by 2045.
Yeah, that's something that's really cool. It makes me really proud to live in this state. And, you know, the path to being free of greenhouse gases, it's still pretty complicated. We could do a whole podcast on just that, but let's keep it simple. So the state is going to eliminate the use of our old friend coal by 2025 and then require utilities to come up with plans to provide electricity from renewable resources by 2045, or they'll have to pay penalties.
Wow, that's pretty cool and also pretty ambitious. Can you tell me a little bit more about how that's going to happen?
You know, Ashley, I think what we need to do is look to the future for that answer. So here, I got a proposal for you. Why don't we go jump into this spaceship? I got it off of eBay. It looks pretty reliable, but I haven't tried it before. So let's get in there and check it out. Here we go. Hey, we made it. That spaceship actually got us here. So we've talked about the past and we've talked about the present. But as we look to the future, let's talk a little bit more about that. So I like to travel around the state a lot, and I have noticed so many more wind turbines out near the Columbia Gorge and on the hills around Ellensburg. There used to be just a few of them, but there's literally now hundreds of them up on the hills.
Yeah, and you know, Scott, those are just the start of a renewable energy expansion across the state. And it might be hard to believe because it rains so often here, but Washington receives about 70% of the solar radiation of Southern California. Does that surprise you?
That does surprise me, Ashley.
So solar energy is becoming more and more popular in our state. Between our clean hydropower systems and investments in renewable technologies, I feel pretty confident that we can meet that goal of having an electricity supply free of greenhouse gas emissions by 2045.
And if we're already leading the nation in getting most of our electricity from renewable sources, it sounds like we have a head start, right? One of the projects that is propelling us toward a sustainable future is the Community Solar Project in Snohomish County. Have you heard of that, Ashley?
I think so. That's the one where customers can benefit from solar energy by purchasing units from a community solar site.
Right.
And then the number of units is directly connected to a solar energy bill credit.
That is so cool. That's the one. So there are so many neat projects already in place. The PUD has always been committed to renewable energy resources for its customers, and it plans to continue being a leader achieving these goals even earlier than mandated, which is super cool. So, Ashley, I'm a little bit worn out. Do you think we met our goals for the day? We're nearing the end of our time traveling tour, and I'm getting a little jet lag. So let's just review, okay? So we traveled through time today. We talked about renewable and non-renewable energy sources. There was some coal, fossil fuels, nuclear power, hydropower, wind power, biomass, and solar power.
Yeah, and you know, our second goal, I think we totally accomplished that with our fun sound effects and our time traveling, which was to share some information about Washington State's energy use and be really thoughtful about what's happening where we live in Snohomish County. Well, Scott, I really hope our listeners enjoyed our banter and adventures through time as much as I did.
I really did too, and I think it's time to go back to the present so I can charge my cell phone and get a cup of coffee and use some power. And maybe you should get your cat fountain going. So what the heck?
That sounds great. Until next time, Scott.